That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth good grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. This is the gospel of grace.
Lupins are tall, spiky flowers that come in blue, rose, and purple, and are known for beautifully lining the coast of Maine, creating a breathtaking landscape of color. Hilda Edwards is known throughout Maine as the Lupin Lady. Born in 1904 in England, she settled on the coast of Maine as an adult and began planting lupin seeds that she had brought from England. After Hilda planted seeds around her little cottage, she decided to plant some more. She began putting seeds in her pocket when she walked to the post office, and she was throwing them all along the roadside wherever she went. She did it in secret, rarely telling anyone about her lupin obsession. Although, when friends gave her a ride, they would catch her tossing lupin seeds out of the car window. The bountiful display of color by the Lupin Lady was the inspiration for a beloved children's book called Miss Rumphius. The book ends with a statement of calling to a young niece from the Lupin Lady. She says, "You must do something to make the world more beautiful." Hilda Edwards is a sower, or a planter, of seeds, much like the sower in our parable from Matthew. Jesus starts the parable with these words, "A sower went out to sow." We've often focused on the different types of soil presented in this parable. And while this is a helpful exercise, have you ever wondered why the sower placed those seeds in all of those seemingly poor conditions in the first place? The sower in this parable simply throws seeds everywhere she goes. What we don't have here is a person who is anxiously counting every seed and spending energy placing them only in the finest of soil. No, this is not the parable of the obsessive sower, or the worrying sower, or the sower who panics from lack of growth. This person is lavishly scattering seeds all along the places she is walking. The paths, the rocky hillsides, and even among the weeds. This farmer seems to know a secret. When you cast out many seeds and trust the process, the harvest will come. I recently learned that what Jesus talked about the most in the Gospels was this idea of the kingdom of God. Interestingly, the second thing he talked about the most was money. But we're going to leave that for another sermon. This has captured my attention because whatever Jesus spent the most time talking about, we should pay close attention to as well. The parables in Matthew 13 are considered kingdom parables. And when talking about the kingdom of God in these parables, Jesus uses new language to capture the attention of his Jewish listeners. Through Jesus, the kingdom of heaven had come near, And this inbreaking of God's kingdom was both a mystery, but also something to understand through Jesus. He explained the kingdom of God as God's reign in the world and what that might look like. Restoration of creation, unity of humanity, generosity toward all in need, peace, justice, and fullness. Jesus was the proclaimer of God's coming kingdom, but was also the example of how to live now into those possibilities. Perhaps the best way to sum up Jesus' promises of God's kingdom is when he says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This life is offered for you and me, but it is also our responsibility to help make God's abundant life available to all people. This can quickly feel overwhelming. We can get discouraged, especially when we look around at our world right now. The disciples who heard this parable, they were discouraged. Many in Jesus' time were not understanding or believing Jesus' message. The disciples were beginning to realize that this Messiah was not what they had in mind. And getting others to believe Jesus' message could be costly. But through this parable, Jesus is strengthening their resolve. He was telling them that just as the farmer liberally scatters seeds and is confident that although some will not yield results, in the end, there will be a good harvest. So too can the disciples continue to spread Jesus' message in hope and leave the results in God's hands. And what a harvest it will be. Verse 8 says, "Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. This is a remarkably good harvest for a Galilean farmer. And as it says in the message, it produced a harvest beyond the sower's wildest dreams. Such is the kingdom of God. The secret of the kingdom is found in things as simple as a seed germinating in the ground. And we are called to be like the sower who freely spreads the message of Jesus' love each day and in each setting of our lives. We are called to join God in the creative work of making earth be more like heaven. But we get stuck in our obsessive and anxious attempts at following Christ. We try to do it cautiously and perfectly, or we timidly hold all our seeds tightly to our chest, waiting for just the right kind of soil. Sometimes we give up altogether. Maybe we are exhausted by our efforts, or haunted by our mistakes. We're not sure the next step to take, and we don't think it's going to make a difference anyway. Or we're simply scared of stepping out of our comfortable space into the pain of our neighbor. Or scared of what we might lose if we freely give our love away. And we conclude that our soil is just not good enough for God to use. Ecologist George W. Fisher from Johns Hopkins University wrote a fascinating article on the relationship between the habitats presented in this parable. He says that readers of this parable can quickly relate to one of the lesser soils, and we can tend to see our failure in its light. However, he explains that all four habitats in this fragile Galilean ecosystem, they needed each other for success. The birds on the path, they replant the seeds in new places. The withering plants in the rocks create humus that is needed for new soil. The thorny shrubs, they create nutrients and water storage that eventually develops into healthy soil in what would be otherwise barren ground. These partnerships created the health of the land as a whole, and what might look like failure is being transformed very slowly into fertile ground through processes that happen again and again. And just like the soils in this parable, God uses every effort of flawed yet faithful disciples to build the kingdom. Because for God, failure is never final. And there is no mistake that is too big that God cannot redeem. And so we can live freely into our calling. As George Fisher writes, the generosity of the sower is the character of God's creativity, which invites all of creation to be what it can be. But farming is not for the faint of heart. Farmers don't take vacations, and their work is often full of mundane routines, hard work, and disappointments are to be expected. Long waits for returns requires patience and perseverance. But so is the way of discipleship. As Jesus' disciples, we will experience setbacks, failure, and what feels like wasted effort. But through this parable, we have an invitation that through following Jesus, just like a farmer, we can focus on the possibilities. And when we do experience growth, we know that that's the result of God's grace. Planting a seed seems like such a simple act. One little seed, some soil, and water and sunlight. But isn't this process, like so many, a miracle that we take for granted? The growth from that small seed is remarkable. We often downplay our everyday acts of faithfulness as simple. But the Spirit of Christ is moving in miraculous ways through the everydayness of our lives. Reading bedtime stories to your children, showing up for work each day and being an honest and generous contributor, teaching a college class and encouraging young adults to be open to new perspectives, watching a documentary to further educate yourself on the history of oppression for people of color, staying after school to tutor a student who needs help, taking cookies to a neighbor, wearing a mask in public, calling your grandparent every Sunday, praying daily. Simple, faithful acts of daily service are being sown into God's kingdom. Can you hear God's word of blessing on your daily faithfulness? And then there are times we are called to take risks when we sow our seeds. The nurse who goes back to work after a day of intense grief and faces his fears of COVID-19 all over again. A teenager who goes to school and intentionally seeks out a friendship with someone from a different background. The tentative voice that speaks out on social media to offer a different, yet possibly controversial perspective on an important issue. The business that values people even more than money. The church that speaks out for the needs of all people and teaches by example that we are indeed our brother's and sister's keeper. Our risks may cost us, and they may not yield results that we can see, but rest assured, God sustains those who are called. What seeds are you being called to sow? Where and how might you join God in this work? Today is Youth Sunday, and like everyone in the midst of our current pandemic, our youth have experienced disappointments as we have had to cancel plans and trips, most recently canceling our youth camp at Camp Broadway. At camp, we were going to focus on the word reset. And right now in our history is certainly a time for us to reset our lives to what is our most fundamental calling. At camp, we were going to talk about a few ways to do this. One way is to restore the earth back to God's healthy and beloved creation. Another is to pay attention to how humanity has been dismembered in history, and to be a part of remembering all people to put us back together again. And finally, to return to God each day in devotion and prayer. That prefix re means again and again. Restore, remember, return, reset. Again and again, faithfully, generously, we answer God's call. Jesus' parable of the sower is good news. We can live with freedom to take risks, trusting that all of our efforts are being used in ways we don't know and in places we cannot see. We can hear God's call to join God in this work and persevere with patience in the face of many challenges right now in our time. And we can claim that audacious hope that the God of the harvest will slowly but surely bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. What is the kingdom of heaven like? A sower goes out to sow. A teacher goes out to teach. A patient parent goes out to parent patiently and teach patience. A Broadway youth member goes out to remember those who are on the outside. A justice seeker goes out to seek justice. A faithful servant goes out to serve faithfully. A Christian goes out to be a Christ follower. We are the ones called to go, and all the world is God's own field. From the children's book mentioned earlier, Miss Rumphius, her pockets full of seeds, wandered over fields and headlands sowing lupins. She scattered seeds along the highways and down the county lanes. She flung handfuls of them around the schoolhouse and back of the church. She tossed them into hollows and along stone walls. And indeed, the world was made more beautiful. Amen.